Welcome to the Electra International series, Think Like a Leader. We all enjoy hearing another person's success story, and we hope our conversations with leaders from across the electrical construction industry will help spark your interest and creativity in finding ways you can think like a leader. Thank you so much for joining us again today. We are here for another episode of Electra International's Think Like a Leader. This series is turning out to be something very, very interesting and very, very important for the electrical construction community. It gives lots of people the opportunity to say, oh, that's what I should be doing, or, oh, I never thought of that. So today, we are here with Christine Spielman Parsons. She is the CEO of Spielman Electric. It's a family-owned business. It's been in the world for about 35 years, serving Ohio and other parts of the country. And we want to find out more about that. So, Christine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm honored to be a part of this.
Tell our audience about your journey that led to you now serving as CEO for this company.
Well, I'll be honest, it was unexpected. This isn't something that when I was a young girl, I thought, oh, I'm going to be an electrical contractor. I grew up, my dad was a union electrician my whole life. I didn't even live with him when he originally started the business. And it kind of evolved. I joined originally with it was just him and my mom and me and a purchasing agent. And we have, over the last 35 years, we have grown into what we are now. And, you know, I'm super proud of it. My dad was a great mentor. There's ups and downs. And he taught me everything, that just keep pushing forward, keep moving, keep going, and learn from the failures. And so that's what we do. It's what we did the whole time. And it's what I'm going to continue to do.
As you think about the electrical construction industry as a whole, and obviously you have to deal with both the macro and the micro, are there certain industry trends and opportunities or threats that have more impact on you in the way that you choose to lead the company? Are there certain trends that you say, this is one I really have to pay attention to?
Yeah. I mean, if you think of the obvious one is going to be financial trends. Think worrying about recessions and worrying about how that's going to affect your company. Trying to predict the future is hard for all of us. I do my best based on experience that I've learned over the last 35 years. And I'm very conservative, and I think it has served our company well. But outside of that, I am also very open to trying new things. And many times over the course of years, people will come in and they'll say, hey, this guy, I saw him on a job site, and we have this, you know, new kind of work opportunity we've never done. Do you want to try it out? And I'm all on board for that too. That's how we get new types of work. And that's why we became well diversified.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because your company's promotional material, and I'm going to quote it, it talks about finding quality solutions and providing the most innovative and cost-efficient electrical services. That's a big goal. So as CEO, what are some of the key elements that you have to look for when you need to make decisions about how to get the best use out of both human and financial resources that are available to you?
So two things. We have a great relationship with our suppliers, with our banker, our bonding company, and our insurance company. And they kind of act as a kind of like a mini board of directors. You know, they're there for us. I ask them for advice. What do you think about this? Can we get this? Can you guarantee this kind of pricing so that I can make sure that I'm going to follow through with what we're promising people in the first place? The second part is going to be about matching personalities. Our staff here, you know, we try to find the skill sets and personalities that match our company culture here. So in doing that, I can provide the best service to our customers as well as have a good workplace.
How do you personally define a quality solution? What does that mean to you?
It is the solution that works well for everybody. So the customer has to be happy. I have to be happy as the business. It's whatever works for all parties.
Well, when you talk about your company and you talk about the interaction that you have with the owner and the GC and other subs and the design team, as well as your own employees, you describe your goal as client satisfaction, that that's the ultimate of what you have to accomplish. Do you, as a woman CEO, have to be more strategic than a male leader might need to be in order to create that client satisfaction?
Well, I would like to say no, but in actuality, sometimes. I will say that this is something that it's all about knowing your audience. Things, to be honest, were harder when I was younger. As I've gotten older, that has become less of an issue. Younger people are, and I don't mean to stereotype, but younger people are more accepting of having females in leadership positions than older people. It's just a fact. That's how it was. Some people treat me differently and some people don't. So I have learned to adjust to whoever my audience is. I am not above taking a male with me to a customer if I perceive that I'm going to have that kind of a prejudice. Most times, if once I get a relationship with a customer or with that person, those things will go away. But it just takes time.
Are there more challenges because it's a family-owned business, that you're not a huge multi-level corporation, but that it's a family business?
In some ways, yes. Big companies are leery because I'm not big, huge. But a lot of people don't want to work with big, huge corporate America. A lot of people want to be seen. They want to feel that personal level of service. And we can provide that better than your corporate America.
As you look to make sure that you have the best workforce possible for your company and for the kinds of jobs that you want, projects that you want to take on, do you find that interest in electrical construction is increasing? And as people understand that there are more opportunities because technology is becoming more and more part of a worker's portfolio, does the technology aspect help you to find better workers?
I think that the times are changing drastically right now. And the younger generation, the new technology that's coming about, it's changing everything. They're seeing that construction trades are not how it was typically perceived at. It's very technical. They like that kind of work. They are seeing that becoming an electrician or a project manager has so many different paths that you can go on. It's not, this is what you do for the rest of your life. And I think that finally, our schools are starting to promote that and say, look, that you can have a great living in the electrical trades, and here's all the different paths that you can take. And new technology is a huge driver in bringing that about.
Do you find it difficult or pretty level playing field in Ohio itself? Is Ohio an attractive market into which people that want to work in electrical construction want to come? Or are they looking to just go to large cities and large companies?
I think it's a personal decision. Ohio, certainly, we need manpower. We are so short on manpower. I think they're predicting 4,000 electrician shortage for the amount of work that's being done here. But it's a personal decision. You know, people who live here, Ohio is not a tourist destination. Okay. It's not somewhere that, you know, you come for vacation normally, but it's a great place to live. And I think that people who are from the northeast are open to it. And I'm hoping that having the abundance of work and need that's here is going to attract people.
Well, I wouldn't say that nobody goes to Ohio for a vacation. A lot of people want to go see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a lot
that is
of
people, true. That
they,
is
go to true. They go to Cincinnati and they do a lot of sports stuff there. So don't sell yourself short on Ohio. Are you finding that more college students are willing to think about construction as a career and not just a trade?
Yes. I think we're still stuck there, though. The college students that are coming out of like construction management projects, obviously I go to all of the career fairs and we look for interns and we're always recruiting people. But I think that the GCs are at this point grabbing the lion's share of them. I'm hoping that that's going to see some change. But the last few years, that's what I'm seeing from that.
Spielman Electric, your involvement with Electric International is relatively new, and your company now has a seat on the Electric Council. So thank you, and I hope that's going to be a very long-term relationship. Yep. What were some of the factors that made you say, okay, it's time, we got to do this now?
Well, so kind of two things happened. Our company has been part of a peer group with other electrical contractors for almost 20 years. It's one of the most successful groups that originated through NECA. And they are a group of people that I have the utmost respect for. And a good percentage of them are current Electric members. So since I became our peer group representative, I've heard them talk about Electric, how they enjoy it, how they get the things out of it, and they encouraged us to join. So we'd been thinking about it for a while. And as luck would have it, we had a year where we had a pretty good year. And so we had the money to put forth to become a council member. And I'm really glad that we did. So far, it's been a good experience.
As you think about your opportunities to volunteer either on committees or task forces or whatever with Electric, what do you think in your mind, what's Electric's most important service to the EC industry as a whole?
Well, you're forging the way forward. You're leading us into what our future is going to be. So many times you're running the business. You're just doing your day-to-day thing. You're not thinking about what's next. Electric is looking at what's next, what's coming. And I think that's very important. And you're putting it out there for everybody. It's not just, you know, if I'm going to do the research myself, I want it for me. But you guys are putting it out there for everybody and we're all helping. So we're all getting all of our experience and knowledge together. And I think that that's a really, really good thing.
In addition to that statement, is there anything particular that you are looking for Electric to provide for your company specifically?
Well, honestly, I don't know that it has to be my company. I think across the board, the biggest things coming for all of us has to do with manpower and supply chain issues. And it is going to be what prevents all of us from growth. So we have to find a different way. And I know Electric's looking at things and we've had people talking and they're always trying to find new solutions and they're looking out for us, I guess, to figure out how are we going to grow? Because I don't know the answer to these problems by myself, but I think together we can find solutions.
Going back to talking about workforce, and you mentioned that there is an enormous need in Ohio. There's a need everywhere, but you did specifically mention that in Ohio, it's a pretty big need to find a well-qualified workforce. And in your information about your company, and I'm quoting again, you say, all aspects of employment with us will be governed on the basis of merit, competence, and qualifications. So what are some steps that you as CEO have taken or plan to take to ensure that you're getting the best possible mix within the workforce?
Well, obviously we hire through the union. They get the best training out there. They come to us hopefully well-prepared to be able to do any type of job. In addition to that, I personally find it important. They have to match with our company culture. If they fit our company culture, I can teach them anything. They will be here and they'll be happy. We treat our people really well. Most of our management and leadership team, our foremen, they've been here for more than 10 years. That means that we're doing something right, that they feel welcomed. And I think company culture is a huge part.
Well, how would you describe your company culture? What would you tell me it is?
We're still a family-owned company culture. We're not quite so big yet that we had to give that up. And we still have company picnics and quarterly barbecues, and we still have a lot of stuff. We go to job sites and personally say thank you and shake people's hands. And if you've been there for a while, I know your name. I know your wife and your kids. And I think it matters, you know?
So it's not just that somebody is a social security number and a paycheck at the end of the week.
No, not at all.
Okay. Are there some extra steps that you need to take to help young women have a better vision for themselves as part of the EC industry, which clearly has always been a male-oriented, male-dominated environment?
So as I age, this has become actually a lot more important to me, and it's become something I'm becoming very passionate about. I've joined a couple different mentorship programs recently to help young female leaders to make their way up. I feel strongly about helping them find confidence and advice to help them to see that there's all kinds of paths for them too. I'll let you know how it goes.
When I looked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I was really surprised to find out that women only make up 11% of the construction industry, 17% of construction management positions, and across the country, there are only 10% of any type of construction company that is owned and run by women. Do you, in your leadership role, take steps to help improve those percentages? What kinds of activities or actions would you like to see Electri do to help improve the percentages, not just of women owners, but of women in senior positions across the board in the construction industry?
So as someone, like I said, who's recently, I've been trying to get involved in mentoring people, there is not a lot of options out there for young women. I mean, if you think about it, for men, there's stuff all over the place, organizations and peer groups and things that does not exist for females. I personally hire young females, of course, and trying to match them with other young females or even older females for mentorship it's very difficult to do. That being said, most of the female owners that are out there right now, their actual mentors were men. And so even myself, my dad was my mentor. I think that we just need to do a better job of helping them find their confidence and their voice. And I'm out there doing it, but I do think it's going to change. I just think the younger generation is way more accepted for women to be out there.
Every leader thinks about tomorrow, but sometimes things get bogged down because people are either rehashing or remembering the past. That's the way we used to do it. That's the way we've always done it. When you think about, now you said your dad was your mentor, but maybe this advice came from him, maybe it didn't. What's the best professional advice you ever received that has helped make you into the leader that you are today?
Actually, this did not come from my dad.
Okay.
It came from one of our other department managers, and it was at a particularly hard time in our company, and I was not feeling like a very strong leader. And I was having a conversation with him, and he said to me, he said, "Don't listen to the noise." And it just kind of hit me at that moment that he's right. Stop listening to what everybody on the outside is saying. And look, they're not in my shoes. So I started thinking that way, about not worrying about what everybody else was saying and thinking about what I felt was the right thing to do, given whatever set of circumstances that I have. That still means take constructive criticism. I still think you need to do that. I need to listen to when people are talking to me and always try to, you know, learn from what they're saying. But criticism that's just criticism doesn't need to be heard.
Is there any other topic or any other message that you would like to include and give to our Electric International, or bigger than that, to our electrical industry audience? Anything that I haven't asked you about, you'd say, you know, Carolyn, I really think we need to include X. Anything else come to mind?
Every day I tell myself to get out of my comfort zone. I'm like everybody else. I like to be comfortable, but if we're all going to move forward and grow, we have to get out of our comfort zone And I also, I hate hearing people say to me that that's the way we always did it. I don't want to hear that. If you have a reason for doing it, myself included, I want to be able to just say, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And lots of times I find that there's a way better way to do it because we've evolved in whatever reason. So each day, just try to be better. Try to be better and get out of your comfort zone.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for your time today. I know you're a very busy person. We really appreciate you sitting down to talk with us. And I like the idea of getting out of your comfort zone. And I most definitely love the idea of do not listen to the noise. And I'm going to use that with every one of my clients whenever they get into a box that they shouldn't be in, say, don't listen to the noise. Follow what you know is right. So thank you to our audience for joining us today. There are lots of these Think Like a Leader interviews that are available to you on the Electri website at electri.org. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening.